Welcome to Business Watch here on Business Day TV. Plastic, glass, paper, in fact, most packaging and substrate materials are deeply ingrained in modern society and play a critical role in our day-to-day lives, from food to transport, clothing to technology, leisure to healthcare, and sport to culture. It's difficult to imagine a world without these materials. However, one cannot argue that we don't have a waste and pollution problem in South Africa and indeed in the world. And society has really failed to account for the negative environmental and socioeconomic impacts of our growing dependence on these materials and the pollution that not dealing with them responsibly causes. Until now, there have been voluntary initiatives led by industry to find solutions, but the so-called Expanded Producer Responsibility or EPR regulations and the associated sector schemes have been published and came into force on the 5th of November of this year, after a long and winding road, it must be said. To find out what this new era means for producers, I'm joined now by Mamohela Mosikena, who's DDG for Chemicals and Waste Management at the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and Environment, Shabir Jeetam, Executive Director of Packaging SA, and leading circular economy consultant Sally-Ann Kasna. Let's start with a bit of background and context, DDG. What is extended producer responsibility and why is it important right now?
Extended producer responsibility is a policy approach wherein post-consumer stage costs associated with products are taken into account. In this case, we mean that once you've used your product, it becomes waste. The producer or the manufacturer that has put that product onto the market needs to ensure that the financial cost associated with the management of waste generated from that product are taken into account. We mean the collection of that waste, the treatment in terms of recycling, and maybe turning it back into a new product, or if there are resultant waste that needs to be landfilled, that also needs to be taken into account.
Sally-Ann, when we look at EPR legislation, South Africa is not the only country in the world to have introduced EPR legislation. Where else in the world has it been rolled out?
Hi, Mike. So, yes, EPR has been happening for many, many years in many European countries. In fact, there are many European directives. It's in legislation and has been in practice for probably 20 or 30 years in Europe and in many countries or states in America. It has also been practiced. So EPR is not a new concept, but it's definitely new in terms of its mandatory application for South Africa.
And I want to come back before we talk about the details and DDG, perhaps you can just expand on the legislative path. You currently involved in a parliamentary portfolio committee meeting. So it's fitting that we just talk about the pathway of this legislation and the regulations to get to this point. Originally, it was first thought that we'd see EPR in November of 2020. There then was a delay. Just take me through the roadmap to get to this point.
Mike, in fact, it started before then because previously we had thought that there would be government-managed models, but in our engagements with stakeholders and in terms of considering some of the factors in terms of ensuring that even the resources, all the resources would be plowed back, we opted to take it to an industry-managed model. And with that, in industry, the value chain, you've got a lot of stakeholders, the converters that actually mold the products into packaging, as an example. But then you also have brand owners, those ones that have got their names associated with products, and they put whichever product, which we call a filler, into the packaging product. And then you also have retailers, that's your mainline shopping shops, wherein they also might have house brands that are associated with their products putting their names on that. So in the consultation, when we talk issues such as definitions of what we mean as a producer, those issues became pertinent because for now I've talked about a converter, I've talked about a brand owner, I've also talked about a retailer. Those stakeholders do have an impact because maybe it's the brand owner that decides on the design of the packaging, and if they don't take environmental considerations into account, that could also impact the environment negatively. So we needed all these stakeholders to be part of the process and ensure that they account in terms of the end of life of the product that they put onto the market. So yes, we had to amend some of the stuff, but in the end, working with Business Unity South Africa as well, we had an industry task team that at the end we found each other and we agreed on what is the requirements that needs to be there to enable us to proceed.
That's an interesting point, and Shabir, I want to bring you in as Executive Director of Packaging SA and the broad overarching umbrella body for industry here, this interaction that's been had with government and industry forming this task team. I know internationally when you look at EPR, it included the brand owners, but it didn't include everyone else in the value chain. This is where we are significantly different to what is being rolled out elsewhere. Is this better? Is it going to be more difficult to get the entire value chain working together here? Just take me through the thinking as you worked alongside government here to develop these regulations.
Morning, Michael. Thanks. Yes, I believe we worked very closely. And firstly, I'd like to thank our DDG and her team, and including Minister Creasy, for really working closely with industry. I believe in the many years that I've been in the packaging sector, over the past few years we've developed, there's a very strong relationship and a very good rapport between industry and government, and we don't see it as us and them. What I find and I'm grateful for is the relationship and the openness in which, as well as transparency in terms of how the EPR, how we have progressed to get EPR mandatory in South Africa. So definitely, I believe working together is key. And with this being the first iteration in South Africa as well of EPR, I believe definitely from our industries, the industry side as well as from government side, there definitely will be teething problems. It's the first initiative, and I believe, you know, it's that level of maturity and trust and confidence we've built with each other that we will work together as not as us and them, but as all of us as South Africans rather, to make EPR a reality, because it's something that we really need to do. We've been talking about industry waste management plans for many years, going back to 2009. And at last, it has come to fruition. And with the cooperation between the department and all sectors of the paper and packaging sector, and definitely it augurs well for a successful EPR scheme. Now, to your point as well, Michael, in terms of getting role players, yes, Some countries use brand owners, but it's not the only way. And I think the method we've gone forward, this is primarily with the task team discussions we've had between the DDG and a team who led the team from government side. I was on the task team as well, and it was really done in good spirit. But importantly, I believe EPR should not just be brand owners who take ownership, but everyone across the value chain. So in my opinion, it augurs well for EPR because we've got the key stakeholders, as our DDG has mentioned. We've got retailers, we've got brand owners, we've got manufacturers, and all these parties have a role, are key stakeholders in what packaging is placed on the market. So as the DDG mentioned, in terms of design for recycling, it's not the brand owner decides, but also it's a packaging manufacturer and the converter that needs to work together with them. And recently, a draft guideline has been published by the DFFE as well in terms of design for recycling in conjunction with Packaging SA. So this also is really a step forward in terms of getting everyone in the paper and packaging value chain to design products that are more recyclable and more environmentally friendly as well.
That comes back, Sally Ann, and I know you're a specialist on circular economic thinking and the Ellen MacArthur Foundation, which is really a forerunner in this space about thinking in a more circular fashion around the way we manufacture. How does this tie into the circular economy?
So I'm quite excited about EPR being implemented in South Africa because it really is going to inspire a new way of thinking about the packaging that we put onto the market. So what EPR is going to do is going to disincentivize problematic packaging through the raising of higher EPR fees. So if you place, as a producer, if you put a packaging on the market that is high, is reusable, first prize, or highly recyclable, it'll have technically a lower recycling fee than a problematic material. So in my view, this is really going to assist to stimulate a more circular way of thinking at the design stage of the packaging. So for me, it's great news. I think there will be one or two challenges along the way. But for our economy, I see many more opportunities with EPR and the stimulating of additional business models of how or how do we package our products differently to get to the consumer in a much more responsible way, as opposed to just trying for the low cost option. Because at the moment, we often, when we put packaging or other products onto the market, we often don't take into account what happens post-consumer. That has been the way and is still the way, that we put products onto the market. We very rarely take into account the post-consumer management of that packaging. So what EPR is going to do is to stimulate and really encourage producers to rethink how we do manage those packaging items, especially the problematic ones.
So, thank you, Sally Ann. DDG, to bring you back into the picture here, the 5th of November, that was the go-live date for the regulations, but I believe companies now do have 60 days within which to submit their plans to the minister. Practically, what do the various producers, role players, as they defined, have to now do? What is expected of them under this new regulatory regime?
So yes, Michael, on the 5th of November, we've seen an increase in terms of submissions, mainly coming from also the producer responsibility organizations. What we had required is that producers, as well as these producer responsibility organizations, register with the department, but also additionally, because there are costs to managing these EPR schemes, the requirement is that the EPR fees that are proposed for the schemes needs to be submitted to the department for approval. And we, working together with National Treasury, we will look into those costs and come back. So we have that 60 days to come back to producers. These fees are going to enable the system in terms of ensuring that post-consumer, the first stage we talk about, it's the collection. And Michael, you'd be aware that especially in the packaging sector, we also have the informal waste pickers that are part of the collection system. As part of the regulations, they will be compensated aside from the revenue that they get from selling off the recyclables, but as part of the regulations, it's also there to ensure that we address some of the issues that are linked to the informal that made them to be not taken care of, to ensure that we transition that sector. So collection, as well as whether it's sorting and also baling, material recovery facilities, those facilities that are required to be able to collect, recycling facilities that would turn these recyclables into raw material, secondary material that can go into the manufacturing of new products. So all these EPR fees will go back, planted back into the system to ensure that we increase the circularity that Sally Ann was emphasizing.
I think you raise a couple of important points there. And Shabir, I want to come back to what I mentioned in the introduction, is that many organizations, you look at the glass recycling company, Packaging SA, there are many that have been doing this anyway, voluntarily. Now we have a system where, you know, everyone is, all the freeloaders are going to have to be brought into the net as well, which can only be a good thing. But also there was a point raised that, you know, this is not going to go into the maw of the fiscus and treasury. And there was a lot of controversy around the plastic bag tax and RDISA and a few other schemes. This one is going to be privately run and managed by industry. So this also gives one a level of comfort as well in terms of EPR. What do you see as the role here of the PROs? Because you can have different kinds of schemes. The PRO schemes seem to be far more favored. They get the economies of scale. It's centralized. You don't have duplication. What do you see as the role here of the PROs?
Yeah, Michael, in terms of the roles of the PROs, you know, the PROs' roles are critical because the PROs will carry out the responsibility for the producers. As the DDG has indicated, there's different types of producers. It could be the manufacturer or the converter, it could be the brand owner, or it could be the retailer where they pull their house brands as well. So having to, as you mentioned, in terms of economies of scale, what's important is you've got PROs working together. First of all, you've got a PRO and you've got multiple members who are contributing to the PRO. So definitely having not too many PROs is beneficial, not to create any monopolies whatsoever, but the funds are pooled into a PRO for a certain product or class of products. Definitely one enjoys economies of scale from that. But further than that, the PROs, we've also formed a PRO alliance, of which the current paper and packaging PROs are or have been the members of it. And in terms of that, that is also important because there's many joint initiatives where we can work together, as the DDG and Sally have indicated. In terms of collections, it's pointless each. We have six PROs currently in South Africa for paper and packaging. There could be a few more, but I'm talking about the existing ones who are also members of Packaging SA. There's definitely more that have registered, and they're welcome to also join the PRO Alliance in any case. So that's where we really get economies of scale, such as in terms of collections, in terms of communication, in terms of working together with government, with South African Local Government Association and the municipalities. You know, it's really, it would be futile for six or seven PR or 10 PROs to each have separate different solutions and alternatives and present it to government and municipal level, because the role between the paper and packaging sector and municipalities would be critical in terms of increasing collection rates of recyclables, and collaboration there will certainly make a huge difference with regard to increasing our paper and packaging collection volumes. So definitely working together would be beneficial, and also working together with national government. I believe that, you know, the legislation has been passed. It's now promulgated, but our engagement with national government won't stop. We will work with government also where they can assist us, and we will assist government as well. As I mentioned, this is a joint process where we will all find the best solution in terms of extended producer responsibility.
And to your earlier point, yes, there are expected to be teething problems, as in with any new regulation. But it's through that joint collaborative working together that you're hopefully going to iron out those teething problems. And the context in South Africa, back to you, DDG, is significantly different to what you find in Europe. And I want to come back to the informal waste pickers, for example. I think many people understand and realize the absolutely critical and vital role they play in our recycling that we currently do. How do you envisage them being remunerated or brought more formally into this EPR scheme and system? Do you envisage them being registered and getting a monthly stipend on the back of this? How do you see that playing out practically?
Thank you, Mike. We do recognize that waste pickers play a meaningful role, a significant role, especially in the waste management system. We have worked with waste picker associations as well as the formal industry to ensure that we work through a process. We call it the integration of waste pickers into the system. It also involves the registering of these waste pickers, because we need to know about them. but also working with the industry, the formal industry now, given that we have different producer responsibility organizations looking into different products, we have seen that some of these PROs have already worked on systems that where it's a test of the concept in terms of how they will ensure that that compensation goes through. We've seen some of the PROs in Johannesburg already working with waste pickers and making use of those systems. But also from our side as government, from last year when we experienced the pandemic, we've also worked with municipalities across the country and with provinces. We do have a system where we've registered some of the waste pickers. I must say some because we know that waste picking is a trade wherein the barriers of entry are so low such that even today you can have even new waste pickers coming into the system. So we are aware that we might not have a register of all of them, but those that were existing last year and this year, we do have them on record. And we will be working with industry, the formal industry, the PROs, as well as the waste picker associations to ensure that we close the gaps. Mm. There is a new deadline of November 2022, such that the PROs will ensure that their systems for compensating waste pickers are online. So for now, this year, although there are these case studies that are already under implementation, but all PROs, all producers will then have to demonstrate that by November of next year.
As we rounding off the discussion, Sally Ann, let's just continue to talk a little bit more about the practicalities here. If you're a producer and you obviously produce over the minimum thresholds here, maybe you can take us through what those minimums are, but also what you have to do. I'm sure you're going to have to now have an auditable, verifiable register of what you're producing in order to ensure that you're paying over the correct fees. What are the practicalities from this point?
So, Michael, I'd love to give you a very straight and clear answer, but essentially, producers need to register either with the department directly or as well as with a PRO for their relevant materials that they're placing onto the market. And the threshold is 10 tons, so 10 tons per annum of a material that you place onto the market, which is listed in the regulations. From there, you really do need to understand what your respected PRO is and how they are going to report and to be able to report into their reporting lines in line with the regulations. Some of the material PROs are handling things slightly differently to each other. So in terms of trying to mitigate or fit into the various processes, I think there are going to be some challenges going forward. Mm. We need to start streamlining these approaches between the PROs to make it easier because some producers or brand owners have multiple packaging streams, which means they do belong to multiple PROs. So I think in the next few months, these will start to become clearer in terms of the reporting requirements and how the reporting needs to be done with the respective parties. And I'm sorry if I'm being a little bit vague. It's because it's not entirely 100% clear. Mm. So the government also, and I'm sure Mamakhala would be able to provide some insight into some of the reporting requirements from the government side and the need to submit your information to the South African Waste Information System. But then there's also the PRO reporting requirements and the, you know, consolidation of producer information that then needs to be, submitted. Mm. And the thing is, I think what's going to be really, really important is to not to double count along this process, which may still happen. So basically, my main takeaway here or giveaway here is to say that producers really need to understand the packaging that they're putting onto the market as their minimum at this point. And you would think that many, many do, but in fact, because there are different units and the way that they report on these things internally, it's not necessarily reported on a tonnage basis. So producers are grappling with this as well. They need to change their whole internal reporting processes now to match the requirements of EPR. So I think this year it's going to be about how to get those reporting processes in check, as well as meeting the requirements of government regulation as well as the PROs.
And DDG, let's give you the last word as you've got a minute and a half to go. What are you looking for as government in terms of reporting?
In terms of reporting, first, the producers, they need to tell us the amount that they are putting onto the market, because if you look at our targets in terms of a collection of the post-consumer waste, it is based on a percentage of the overall that you have introduced onto the market. So we've made it easy. South African Waste Information System, we've also moved digitally. Even with the registration, producers could be able to do that in the comfort of their own offices or homes. So just go on to the sawic.environment.gov.za. You will be able, if you don't know which PROs also to belong to or to approach, our system also provides you to be able to search, and you can, the producers can reach out to those that are already registered. And on a 6 months basis, they will be required to report in terms of the interim, such that we are able to see whether we are meeting our annual targets. So those ones, we will keep them open in terms of what needs to be required. They also would be using the digital system to report those through. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DDG. That's where we're going to have to end it off. I'll let you get back to your portfolio committee meeting. Talking about the EPR scheme that is being introduced, we're moving to a circular economy, and it is good news. Undoubtedly, there will be some teething problems, but we are starting to get a handle on South Africa's waste and pollution problem. That was Mamukgala Mosekene, DDG for Chemicals and Waste Management at the Department of Forestry, Fisheries and the Environment, who was joined around the table by Shabir Jeetham, Executive Director of Packaging SA, and Sally-Ann Kasner, Director of Circular Vision, a circular economy strategy and design consultancy.